been praying for our board meetings. I want to say thank you. It's been working. We've had wonderful meetings together. God's been blessing our body financially and with decisions and good things going on. And that outside service on June the 6th, we were talking the other day about plans, how we're going to do it. And, you know, we used to do that because of COVID. We had outside services. And somebody said, well, what do we do if it's bad weather? And we were stunned there for a minute thinking, and Mel Storm came up, we'll go inside. That's pretty smart, huh? Isn't it nice to have a building? Yeah. We're in Genesis chapter 2 this morning as we think about our mums. Genesis chapter 2, verse 20 there. There are roughly 7.5 billion people on the earth. Every single one of them was born. And with every birth, there comes a story. Maybe many stories with every one of the births. But I remember when we were having our first and we'd go to the doctors and they kept saying, oh, it's a little girl. You can tell by the heartbeat. And then we had a sonogram and it's a little girl. And on it went. And I just kept telling Barb, I'm trying to get excited about this little girl coming, but I just keep thinking, boy. And we're even wheeling her into the delivery room. Barb into the delivery room, and the nurse is saying, yo, that's a fast heartbeat. That's a little girl's coming. She's on her way. And the doctor held him up. And I said, oh my gosh, it's Josh. Now that's kind of an unusual thing, because with sonograms and everything, you know, they know what they're doing. Well, don't you know, when Barb was pregnant with Kayla, they said, it's a boy. It's a boy, it's a boy, it's a boy. And Barb was saying, Joel, I wish I could get excited about it, but I want a little girl so bad. And I said, all I can tell you is every time I pray, it always comes out girl. She says, well, okay. Well, we went into the delivery room. Willoughby, Wallaby, Wayla. Out came Kayla. Woo-hoo! You know? There's always a story with these things. I had a friend in Shanksville. She gave birth on the gurney between the ambulance and the hospital. They called the ambulance because she really delivered fast. And it's always different. Some ladies can pop them right out, boom, boom, boom. Others, it's, oh, you know, 24, 27 hours. It just, everything is unique. And 7.5 billion unique stories being thought of, being told today on Mother's Day all over the planet. What are your stories? What are your stories? Well, can you imagine being the very first to experience childbirth? And the only person on the whole planet to help you is your husband. Ooh. Ooh. How many ladies would feel pretty confident? He better not faint. And I'm sure he said very intelligent, comforting things. Don't worry, dear. I've seen the rabbits do this 1,000 times. Well, ask not for whom the bell tolls. It tolls for thee. We're going to pay tribute to our mother, Eve, the very first one. We're all descendants of hers, regardless of race, ethnicity, whatever. We come from one source. And along with her, I'd like to focus on all our mothers that are with us today, either in person, via the internet, or maybe even listening to this as a recording. It's quite an experience, this motherhood thing. Genesis chapter 2, verse 20. So the man gave names to all the livestock, the birds in the sky, and all the wild animals. But for Adam, no suitable helper was found. So the Lord God caused the man to fall into a deep sleep. And while he was sleeping, he took one of the man's ribs and then closed up the place with flesh. Then the Lord God made a woman from the rib he had taken out of the man, And he brought her to the man. The man said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, for she was taken out of man. That is why a man leaves his father and mother and is united to his wife, and they become one flesh. Father, it is still a divine mystery. And even after a lifetime, we're trying to figure things out. But thank you that there's a divine element, a divine touch in our relationships. Would you remind us of that today? Would you renew that in us today? And would you strengthen our moms, our wives, our ladies? And we'll thank you for your help here today in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, this past Tuesday, I was looking through the news feed and I came across a story that Bill and Melinda Gates are divorcing after 27 years of marriage. Their public statement is that they realize they can no longer grow together as a couple in this next phase of their lives. I've been trying to figure out what that means, and it sounds like a business statement to me. You know, we've had a board meeting and we've decided that figure things out here. And we could jab at them because of their political views and many of the things they do, but I just felt sad for them. I sat at the computer, I saw their picture. They always look so happy together. Every picture, it looks like a nice pose. And to think 27 years, they're married, and now they're not going to be married anymore. Divorce is very painful. It's a very painful experience for anybody to have to navigate. They are, of course, among the wealthiest people in the world. Bill Gates is the fourth wealthiest man on the planet. But money's not enough. Everything you can do with money isn't enough. They have three grown great kids by their own estimation, three great kids, a common interest in their foundation. They do a lot of stuff for people around the world. They work on that. But none of that could keep the marriage alive. So what is a marriage, and what does it need? A marriage is a special union between a man and a woman. I realize that's hate speech in many areas of America today, but this is the truth. A marriage is a special union between one man and one woman. And it's best done if neither had sex with any other before they become man and wife. It's best if they keep their sexual relationship exclusive for as long as they both shall live. Well, my fascination started with this, you know, Bill and Melinda thing, and so I clicked on a couple articles since, and I've been learning something about their relationship. And apparently early on, they're advanced whatever, and they decided that Bill would be able to have a weekend away from his marriage every year with his old girlfriend. I don't know about you. I just can't picture my wife standing at the door with a little packed lunch for me and saying, have a nice weekend, dear. If she was holding anything in her hand, it would be like a baseball bat or something. And then I would feel the same way if it was Roland Rivera. No. But the articles I was reading were saying how healthy this is for. Yeah, it would be the death of me. Not healthy. And really, to be honest with you, that's nuts. That's insane. Absolutely ridiculous. Sex is a very important element to marriage, unity, exclusivity, sanctity of marriage. But it's not the only factor there. It's important, but the exclusivity of that. This is the one person on the face of the planet that you share that with. That's very special, and it itself has some elements to it that go beyond physical to emotional to spiritual level. There are temptations to explore, to violate one's vows, but to me, they're very much like that temptation. You ever been driving across a real high bridge, and you know you almost don't like looking down because it's a little bit dizzying, and then you get this thought: if I just cut the wheel right, poo-choo! Yeah, we have those stupid, but you keep the wheel, and it scares you a little bit that the thought's even in your mind, but it's there, and you go, wow, but it's stupid, and it doesn't end well. Maybe the flying would be okay, but the landing would just, no, we don't do that. And not every thought you have is yours, and the enemy is always working to put adverse thoughts, self-destructive thoughts into our minds. And you got to learn to take them captive and know that's not my thought. That's not what I believe. That's not where I'm going. I don't want that. And the enemy will just keep plying sometimes and plowing. And you got to be careful. I want to tell you today that the experience of marriage comes with glue. Comes with glue. Stronger than gorilla glue. Marriage comes with glue. When God puts us together, there are, of course, explainable reasons why we love our partner. We can say, well, they're very organized, very neat. They smell nice. You know, they hug so good, you know. And we got all these reasons. I like the way you do this, and I like the way you say that. There's a couple of things, but mostly I like you. So there's some explainable reasons why we married that person. But I also know that there are some they call it pheromones or whatever there's stuff going on that you and I are not aware of that connects us with our partner. There are some divine, there are some spiritual things that go on. This is the one. This is it. I know there are temptations otherwise, but this one is special to me. This one is special to you. And I believe that divorce is so very painful because it's like splitting an atom. What God has joined together, let no one separate. What God has put together. So this God glue. God glue. Even if you've had a very painful marriage, divorce is still painful. Go figure that. You couldn't hardly wait to get out of there because this or that was going, maybe it was unbiblical, and you know, God said, yeah, get out of there, or whatever. Still painful. Why? Because God glue got put on there. And you're together as one, what God has joined. God joined them. You made the choice. You decided who you were going to marry. And he said, be really careful when you make your choice, because once I put this glue on there, it's really going to hurt if you got to be ripped apart. Or if one goes early. Wow. So be very careful. Go do some premarital counseling just to make sure. You know, some people have to be really careful with crazy glue because they glue themselves together, you know. Be very careful because, you know, well, you know how you are with that. You better let me do that, you know, kind of thing. Be very careful. When you're thinking about marriage, very serious. After this series on Ephesians, we're going to do a series on the Holy Spirit. And then after that, I think I'm going to do the series of my lifetime. It's been bubbling up in me for the longest time. And I'm finally going to sit down and start writing this thing out. And it's going to be titled, Why? Why one man, one woman? Why, you know, family? Why this? Why it's? But anyway. And this is part of it. God glue that puts a man and a woman together. I was telling the guys in the prayer room this morning, I said, you know, there are these moments in life. I remember when I watched my wife holding our first grandson. And I said, I just got all warm and fuzzy inside. And I thought, that's why. That's why we stay together through the hard times and the this and the that, these kinds of moments that come. Well, if they're going to get glued together and all this stuff is going on, and God said it's not good for Adam to be alone. He needs something else. He needs something. Remember at creation, the first day and it was good, and the second day and it was good, and it was good, and it was very good. You know, created. It's not good for Adam to be alone, not good for man to be. I don't think it was even good for just the couple to be alone, all alone on the earth together. Can you imagine that? Just you and your mate, the only two on the planet. I mean, where do you vent? Boy, everywhere I go, there you are. Can I have just a moment here? You know, and boy, wouldn't it be nice to have another couple we could go out to? Could you hear Adam and Eve saying that? Wouldn't it be nice if we had some friends that we could go out with together? Just being alone together, but alone together, just the two of them, is better than being alone alone. And God said of Adam, "Oh, this is not good. We need to make you a partner. We gotta find you a woman." It's like that. There's a song in the 60s. I think Adam wrote that way back when. But we gotta get you a mate. So we've got a guy who's alone, and that's not good. We gotta get him a partner. We got God glue ready to go. How did Adam know Eve was the right one for him? Yeah, everybody's always looking for the one. Yeah, this is the right one. How did Adam know this is the right one for me? I looked it up. Men and women both have 24 ribs. Normally, some are born with an extra or a less, but most of us have 24 ribs. Could you imagine Adam going back to the Lord and saying, "I got 24. Why don't we try another one? I was looking for somebody a little taller or shorter or whatever. Or how about this, God? Why don't, you know, I think I could get by fine with 20 ribs. Let's do 4 ribs and have a contest, huh?" No, no. It was one man, one woman, and 900 years to get it right. Woo! 900 years to get it right. In the beginning, there were two options: be alone or get along. Everything was fine till you came along. No, it wasn't. No, it wasn't at all. One man, one woman, and God. That's it. No parents to run home to. No books written on the subject just yet. Nothing you could Google. No men's and ladies' retreats where you could just kind of go for a while and then come back. And we were with the guys all weekend. Can't wait to be back with the wife after being with the guys. Or all with all ladies. Ah. No running off to the office or school or hospital or wherever for 8 or 10 hours a day. Oh, catch this. This will break your heart. No Walmart. No Lowe's. "Hey, honey, could you pick up a loaf of bread on your way home?" What? If you wanted a loaf of bread, guess what you needed to do to get a loaf of bread? You had to grow the wheat. Grind the wheat. Oh, my. No cookbooks. No recipes from grandma. Nobody ever cooked this before. Meals were pretty much pick it and eat it. "What'd you pick today?" "Oh, didn't you pick that yesterday?" Nag, nag, nag. How long before they discovered spices? "Hey, Adam, I found out if you put a little of this on a little of that, it tastes better." Yeah, you're right. I like that. Good job. If it didn't rain until Noah came along, did they even bother building houses? The challenges were endless. Exploration never, I mean, imagine you and your spouse and nothing walking off into the woods. It's going to be a great life. Wow. And of everything they explored, of everything they discovered, of everything they figured out how to do, nothing blew their minds like carrying and giving birth to that first child. Now, of course, they would have seen animals going through the process, but that would be their only point of reference. How much would you know about human birth by watching animals? First of all, every animal has a different gestation period. Dogs take about 9 weeks from conception to birth. And then when they give birth, they have a litter. 6, 8, 10, sometimes 12 little puppies. Adam, is that what's going to happen to us? Chickens. Chickens lay eggs. And other things do too. What do you think, Adam? We're going to have an egg, or how's this going to work? Horses carry their offspring for 11 months before giving birth. And how long was it before Eve realized she was pregnant and not just bloated? I got to quit eating that broccoli, Adam. Wow. Really? I don't think that's what's going on, dear. Just figuring it out. Just the two of us. We can make it if we try. Really? Wow. Yeah, what's going on here? Remember, there's no one else around who had ever experienced that before. It's Mother's Day, and those of you privileged to have had your mother around at the time. Just letting you know, yeah, this was what it was like when I've told you this story before, yeah, but I wasn't listening. Now it's important, and so we need to hear, and, you know, that's really very helpful. Then there was the birth itself. Can you imagine how freaked out Adam was? Come on, honey, get up. Come on now. Oh, this is it. This is his wife. This is the only other person on the planet. And she's going through something very excruciating here. This is his wife, his one and only. Anything happens to her. Well, and I don't suppose it was very easy on Eve either. She felt like she was getting split in two. Adam, do something. Here, bite on this. Bite on this. Idiot. Then they probably felt like they did something wrong when the child actually arrived. It doesn't do anything. Why, the horse dropped its colt, and within an hour it was up running around, chewing on grass, and pretty much doing horse stuff. Look at ours. Now, puppies, they're kind of helpless for a while, but within a couple of months, they're all dog. Ours, we keep trying to stand it up, and plop, plop, plop. Come on, look at the horse. Come on, can't you? Come on. Eve, I think it's retarded. No, honey, I'm sure he's fine. He just takes after your side of the family. Yeah, they were quite characters, these two, I tell you. It blows my mind to think about everything they had to do for themselves and by themselves. Did God bless them with any tools when they left the garden? You know, here's a Zippo lighter. This will help. You know, I don't know how well equipped they were. And then to figure out how to plant seeds and then do it better, and wow. Now, some couples do things pretty well together. Others, wow, you know. Look, you go over there and do that, and I'll go over here and do this. And then we'll see how it all works out. Food, shelter, first aid. And was there time for anything else? How good did it feel when they got their first structure up? When they figured out a way to keep the fox from eating the chickens. You know, when they got some stuff coming together. I'm sure they kept tending trees like they had done in the garden until they got some other things figured out. But then they learned to milk and harvest livestock. Adam, you going to drink that stuff? Well, yeah, the calf is doing fine and he looks healthy. Really, think about it. We grew up with milk, and so we're... But, you know, really? You know where that came from? You going to drink that, huh? That tastes pretty good, actually. I Yeah. I suppose wool became the fabric of their lives. Something to, you know, in addition to the animal skins. Oh, well, what was a shopping trip like in those days? You go out among the herd and, okay, I need a new dress. Yeah, I could use a new loincloth. Well, which one? Oh, how about this one? Adam. Solids is in this year. Spots are so last year. Okay. A bossy. Well, what would a shopping trip be like? Oh, happy day when one of the kids developed culinary skills. Yeah, I learned that if you cook this first, and then you add some of that, here, see how, I call it beef stew. See what you think. That's really good. Thank you. That's awesome. And then one day, one of the kids just started singing a music. Well, that's nice. You sing, you cook. That's, we're on to something here. And then another one was always tinkering with stuff, always coming up with a new tool. Hey, if we use this, it'll be easier to plant our crops and so on. And he's got something sitting in the corner. What's that? Well, I call that a wheel. A wheel? Yeah. Someday we're not going to have to carry everything. We're going to put it on carts. Won't even have to drag it. And this wheel's going to... Oh, you're a dreamer. Go find some firewood, would you? Quit goofing off. Yeah. You and I have so many conveniences today. Why is life still so hard? I mean, go from looking at the woods together and we're going to make a life to let's go to Lowe's and find a new washing machine. Why can that be so challenging? Let's go find the shiny one and so on. And my dad used to say, he found life so mysterious because when he was a kid, everybody had to work so hard. You didn't have a McDonald's around the corner and stop on the way home and pick something up. All the food was made from scratch. Everybody had a garden. Everybody had a couple of animals that they were taking care of. Every kid had chores as well as going to school. And everybody had to work to survive. And he said, yet in the evenings, we'd all sit on the porch and the kids would play in the street and the neighbors would come by and we'd have time. And now we have washing machines. You don't have to. We have food, flowers already. And he said, we have no time. How did that work? We have so many conveniences to take care of all the stuff we used to have to do. I mean, some of you still fire with wood and so on, have nice heat or whatever. But wow, everything was work. And yet there was time. What has happened to us? That we have no time. And yet we have all these machines working for us. Pretty soon you won't have to drive anywhere you go. Just get in your car and tell it where you want it to go and it'll get you there. So surely we'll have more time, right? We don't even have to drive. It's an odd world we live in. In fact, I think it's no less challenging than what Adam and Eve faced when they left the garden. How are we going to do this? What's most important? What do we need to take care of? What comes after this? Keeping up with technology. Morals are being turned upside down. Like I just talked to you a minute ago about marriage. They decided marriage would be open and you get a weekend off, everyone. And then, morals are changing. In fact, there's a target now on those of us who are married, a man and a woman. They don't want it defined that way anymore. In fact, they don't even want that to exist any longer. Little kids know more than we did as teenagers. Yet maturity never seems to develop. I remember Barb and I had downloaded a game that the grandkids like, and we couldn't figure it out. And I said, well, wait till Colton gets here. He'll show us how to do it. Colton was 4 years old at the time. Yeah, he's going to teach us. Hopefully by the time Colton is 36, he'll be out on his own and moved out of his parents' basement and so on, you know. They can access information from all over the world, yet not control their own behavior. Think about that. Mom, you're being asked to parent in an environment completely foreign to Eve. That girl could chase down a chicken, butcher it, pluck it, and have it for dinner. But she never ordered anything off of Amazon. She would look at you like you're crazy if you handed her a credit card. More than any other generation since Adam and Eve, we parent where no parent has gone before. Just 10 years ago? We were talking about those controls you could put on a computer so that you make sure your kid wasn't watching smut. Nobody even talks about that anymore. Because they all have these cell phones and they got the world in their hand now. And somehow we need to teach them not everything that comes across this thing is good, and you have to have the chutzpah to say no. You who are immature and all hormone driven have to find some help, else you ruin your life before you even get started. You will burn out brain cells you're going to need. You're going to find patterns that you shouldn't be on. I have a little bit of good news here at the end for you, Mom. You are a child of Eve and you can do this. If she could walk off into the wilderness with her husband and they could make a go of it so that we are here today, you can do it. Quit throwing up your hands. Quit screaming. Quit pulling out your hair. Quit denying this, that I give up. No, don't give up. Don't give up. Mom, you're our last best hope. The rest of society is going nuts. But we will keep preaching the truth. We will keep following the Lord. Sir, be faithful to your wife. And do not allow the world to stream in. Don't go down that path. I heard a good preacher this week, I think it was Tony Evans, said, you will control sin until sin controls you. You can choose that if you want to. You can start down that, but then after a while, you can't turn back without great effort and a great deal of pain. That's why I want to preach that series on why. Young man, why not look at pornography? Young lady, why keep yourself pure until marriage? There are good reasons. And we need to teach that to our children. Our pattern is not our own life's experience. Our pattern is the Word of God. And if we can give that to them, we've given them the most precious gift of all. But what I want to give you today, ma'am, is hope. Because Jesus walks with you, you can do this. It's not by accident you're married to that fella. It's not by accident you had this child. My brother used to tell my dad, we got our sons mixed up. I had John's son and he had mine. Because his son was a bit of a goof. I don't know what he's driving at. And my son was really bright. And so he said, yeah, he's just, but... No, sir. God knew what he was doing. Even if you don't know what you're doing right now, and that's by design, so you cry out to the God who knows what he was doing. Oh, did I say that they went off into the wilderness alone? That's not quite true. They had one advantage. They knew the Lord their God. And so every time they came to an impasse, they could ask God. And apparently, God came through. Apparently, God came through. Would you stand with me today?